Looking at 1002.010 of the Texas Estates Code, awards estate or guardianship is that property that existed originally and has changes in form by sale, reinvestment, or otherwise, including augmentation by growth or additions or decreases or distributions. Again, I think, and I'll go over this in a brief kind of checklist that I have later, it's very important to think about that the ward's estate in the very beginning as it exists, because that should inform your judgment about immediate needs issues that should be addressed with the court early on. General powers and duties of the guardian of the estate. So set forth in 1151.101A, subject to subsection B, a guardian of the estate is entitled to possess and manage all property belonging to the ward, collect all debts, rentals, or claims, enforce all obligations in favor of the ward, bring and defend suits, and access the ward's digital assets as provided. I would say, as a general planning tip, as we move into the discussion of seeking claims or recovering claims, it may be important as you are considering those elements to put specific wording in the order of appointment. If there are assets that have been frozen, that is a very helpful tip if there's an immediate need for release of cash. So think about that as you're setting up the guardianship. You may want to add in your order of appointment that the guardian be given certain access to certain assets that may be frozen. So here's, again, an important divide to pay some attention to: powers of guardian of the estate with court order. Under 1151.102, there are certain actions that a guardian of the estate may exercise under court order, including the guardian of estate may renew or extend any obligation by or to the ward. And on written application, the guardian considers the action in the best interest of the ward, and the action is authorized by court order, meaning those considerations have to be informed in your written application. And again, with court order, it goes on to explain in subsection C that those powers with court order could be the purchase or exchange of property, take a claim or property for the use and benefit of the estate, compound a bad or doubtful debt due or owing to the estate, and make a compromise or settlement. And there are further other powers there: the compromise or pay in full of any secured claims, abandon worthless or burdensome property. And I would pay attention to that one as well as we look up front to the establishment of the ward's estate and perhaps your investment plan. The abandonment tool is a very powerful tool if there is a property of waste that can't be properly insured because of location. And so that is something to consider, again, early on as you're developing your investment plan or investment ideas for the ward. So there are powers that a guardian may exercise without court order, and those would be found at 1151.103A. There are certain actions that a guardian of the estate may exercise without court order, including but not limited to a release of lien on a payment at maturity of the debt secured by the lien, vote stocks by limited or general proxy, pay calls and assessments, and insure the estate against liability in appropriate cases, and insure estate property against fire, theft, and other hazards, and pay taxes, court costs, and bond premiums. So that, again, is, it's very important to understand that divide of what one can do as guardian of the estate with and without court order. Nevertheless, the code is clear that you can seek court approval if the propriety of those actions may in any way be in doubt. So that, again, is another helpful tool, particularly when we look at estates where there may be contested estates or issues that may not be apparent from the face of an inventory or other discussions with the court that certain assets may be exposed. So a court order may be very well advised in circumstances where the court, where the code may allow for a guardian to act without court order. And okay, so we get here to the standard of care, and I think this is very important when we're thinking about, you know, our case of Sophia and Dorothy. You know, will Dorothy, if she had a sister, would she want to go after that sister to collect any claim? Would she want to go after someone who may be a co-owner in a business that she owns or formerly owned? So those are things that when we're looking at the standard of care as set forth in 1151.151B, that a guardian should, if there's a reasonable prospect of collecting the claims or recovering the property of a ward's estate, do so. But there could be conflicts of interest that may prevent the guardian from doing it. And I think that's a very important discussion when we look at this duty of care as it relates to the collection of claims. And then set forth in the code are provisions concerning possession of the ward's property. Regarding personal property and records, a guardian is required to immediately after the appointment to collect and take possession of the ward's personal property, record books, title papers, and other business papers. There are certainly other provisions, and I don't have as much time to get into them, but they're addressed in more detail in my paper about property held in common ownership. And partnership interests that you should take if it ever applies in a ward's estate. There are provisions in the code that address those assets. So we're going to turn and look to possession of ward's property regarding the farm, ranch, factory, or other business. I think this is another important area. Again, if it is applicable, if you've done that mini inventory of assets, the code does specifically address the idea of business ownership and administration. And again, this is one area that I would be sitting down with my client before we file the application, certainly after.